Welcome to the It Came From The Basement podcast, brought to you by tourworthy.com. My name is Jordan, and I interview the bands still grinding it out in bars and basements to talk about the various DIY scenes from around the country and how it affected their lives. What's going on, everyone? You are listening to the It Came From The Basement podcast. As always, I am your host, DJ Tall Guy, and we're brought to you by tourworthy.com. Today with me, through the wonder of the internet, is Long Island hardcore turned comedy upstart, Neil Rubenstein.
Neil, how are you doing?
Long Island. My former homeland. But so, Neil, with Hanukkah around the corner, I'd be remiss if I didn't bug you about one of my favorite things ever in existence, your old hardcore band, Sons of Abraham. So I just have to ask, why? How did that come about? Where was the idea?
Oh man, we were at a party. I remember we were in a kitchen. We were in like some rich lady's kitchen. And do you remember the Weeble Wobbles? Were Weeble Wobbles?
No, I don't think I'm familiar with that band.
So there was like a band in the VOD universe called Warped Weeble Wobbles.
Okay.
And the drummer, Mike Rubin, he was actually like there for the impetus of it. It was like him, me, and someone else. And we were geeking out over Cave-In, maybe. Because like that Crossbearer 7-inch maybe just came out.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe like a split. I don't know, man. And we were just, we should do a band. And it was like, oh, we're all straight edge. We should do a straight edge band. And I was like, oh, we're all Jewish. We should do a Jewish straight edge band.
Fuck yeah, dude.
That was it. And then someone like hummed what ended up being song one. And then we like filled out the membership somehow. I think Mike Rubin bailed ultimately, and I knew Stefan because he played in like a goofy hardcore band with my like very close friend. I don't know if you, so Rich Gashion, who does his mental health podcast.
Yeah, I'm actually like a huge fan of it.
So yeah, so Rich was playing in a band with Stefan.
Word.
And I think we were over there and I was like, oh, you're Jewish? I was like, we're starting a thing. We need a drummer. And he, yeah. And I think he knew Todd and Mitch because like he played goofy hardcore with those guys.
Goofy hardcore is the best hardcore.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
So, I didn't mean to cut you off if you had more.
I have nothing more.
Cool. So I don't know if you had a chance to read the book, but I actually found Sons through a book called Oi, 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 Gewalt, Jews and Punk Rock. I'll let that one sink in for a minute because it was, I had the same reaction the first time I read it, but like I needed... That's very much you've seen my TikTok stuff. It's just all being annoyingly Jewish and annoyingly into punk. And so one of the things that they spoke about in the book was Sons of Abraham's War on Christmas.
I'm glad I left a legacy.
So like, I'm gonna like, what was that? Where, like, cause he didn't really give much. It was just like, yeah, the band had like a stance anti-Christmas. And I'm sure it was like trolling way before trolling was a thing. Like,
I mean, that's really it, you know. Yeah. It was just people would you know, it was like right at the I don't want to say it was at the beginning. I'm sure there was stuff before, you know, everyone thinks their experience with something is the first time that thing happened. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure there was a war on Christmas long before us, you know, but like, I just remember like oh, war on Christmas. And it was like, yeah, it should be a war on Christmas. We're not, it's not, you don't have to be Christian to be American.
Exactly.
And it's like, it's just like, oh, you know, you got to take the Christ out of Christmas. Christmas is about to give it. Like, fuck you. I don't have to do nothing. You gotta do something.
It sounds like a clash between the Long Island Jewish and Italian communities.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I always got along with the Italians.
As a pizza bagel from Long Island, sure. But so like tying into that, one of the thing I think that struck me the most, obviously, besides the opener from Termites in His Smile, was the demo version of What Brings May Flowers and how you guys had decided to include the Mourner's Kaddish as like an intro. And like, I've gotten used to like Jews being tongue in cheek about their Judaism in punk, like NoFX with the Brews. And like, I don't know if you ever heard of the Australian band Yidcore, where they were doing it like just funny Jewish stuff. But this was like the first time I heard something I recognized from Synagogue. And I was like, oh fuck, they did something like real. And it was really hard. And I thought, so I was wondering like how that idea came about. Whose idea was that?
My mom. I don't know if she was like taking lessons or whatever it was, but she had like our cantor. She just had like all these recordings of our cantor singing songs so that she could like either learn them or whatever she was doing. Right. It's a male voice on that.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So that's that's our cantor. I don't even know. I couldn't tell you his name, or it was Minetto Hill Jewish Center in whatever it was, the '80s, probably that tape was made. And yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was like badass. Cause like, cause it's so we weren't tongue in cheek about it. You know what I mean? We were like,
no.
Sorry. We wanted to take like the angst of that, like straight edge movement and just apply it to like what we believed in. Nah, fuck Christmas, man. Like I'm not celebrating your bullshit. Like stop forcing it down my throat. Everywhere I look is fucking Christmas. Fuck you. You know, and I'm not to worry. It's not just Jews, it's fucking Muslims and fucking Jehovah's Witnesses. And, you know, like.
Yeah. And the only reason that Christmas gets pushed as hard as it does is because it's an excuse to make everyone spend. Hence why everyone's just like, oh, Hanukkah's the Jewish Christmas. It's just like, no, we just happen to buy each other gifts on a holiday that is around the same time as Christmas.
But it is rooted in Christian capitalism, because our original, like if you go back through history, our gift giving holiday is Purim.
Mm-hmm.
Hanukkah's had like some other fucking thing attached to it. I'm cursing so much. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. This is going to go on Spotify. It'll have the little E next to it.
Okay.
it doesn't have to be PG.
Okay. I don't know what I was saying, but yeah, it's
angry Jews yell about Hanukkah, the podcast. Yeah.
And then that's it. And then it just gets pushed off as like, oh, you're just an angry Jew. You know what I mean? Like the slight against Bernie Sanders is that he's a Jew. Like really, that's the problem. All right, I guess. I mean, you know, since I run the banks, I should be loaded, right?
Exactly. Well, and we control the weather with our giant space laser.
Yeah.
I think that was my favorite of the latest developments in anti-Semitism. It's just like, really? You think we have a laser? Like, is that sci-fi? Did you watch Spaceballs and think that's how it is? Like, no. But so I guess then my follow-up to the question going back to the sample of the Mourner's Kaddish was, I know there are a lot of people in my Jewish community who would hear something like that and be absolutely appalled. I don't know if you experienced any blowback for like using something so sacred and something that people would see as sacrilegious. Because I'm a Chabad. I know there's a lot of people who would not be down with a lot of the things that I'm down with. And so I didn't know if you guys experienced that when you first put out that demo. But
I also don't like... I'm real thick-skinned, like, you know, I think it comes from being growing up Jewish and growing up poor in a rich neighborhood, I think helps with that too, where it's just like, yeah, no, I know, my clothes are dirty, right, and yes, I'm Jewish, right, yeah, oh, yeah, I'm fat, yep, good one, got me with the fat joke. Thank you very much. You know what I mean? So it's like, oh, I tried to bring light to Judaism, and so now Jews are mad at me. Okay, I guess. All right, cool. But that song is about the loss of life, and the Mortis Kaddish is for, you know, people more. I don't know. I thought it made sense.
I agree.
I think it sounded badass. So we went with it, you know.
I'm in the process of putting a band together with some friends, and for a while I had them sold on a band name in Yiddish. And then they were just like, that looks too much like Ramones. And I was like, fuck, you're right. So now we're back to the drawing board. Because only two of us in the band are Jewish. But I'll have my successor to Sons of Abraham one day. All right. That's the goal. But so I'll stop bugging you about things from 30 years ago. And so let's talk about how because you had music after that. You were tour managing for a while. How did you jump from the music world to the comedy world? Like, what made you want to take that step?
Well, man, this is like, there's like the long version. I got into poker.
Okay.
In the early 2000s, like during the boom, and a buddy of mine was in television and he needed someone to be like the gambling expert on a show.
Okay.
So I started doing that and I was like, oh, I just like being a part of entertainment. Like, I just like being a part of it. And someone there was like, well, if you want to keep, you know, their quote to me was shit ends, kid. If you want to keep doing it, you got to figure out a way to keep doing it. And so he suggested stand-up comedy and I did that. And then I stopped doing that. And then I got back to that. You know? So that, I mean, that really is ultimately the impetus.
I think advice that you really took to heart. Cause like while researching this, the sheer amount of content that you put out as like, are you a one man operation? Like I wish I had the like capabilities of putting out as much content and as much entertainment as you do, because I'm the same way. I just like being a part of things. I've done bands, I've done radio, I've done the TikTok now. And it's just like, how do you condition yourself to have that kind of workflow?
I wish I was better. I see people who are just destroying me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't know. I always thought I had a strong work ethic and I see people just bury me. I don't know. I don't know how to, wish I knew. Me too. I see what you put out. You're like, you're a fucking machine. It's like all like cuts and sets and costumes. I'm like, oh, I don't know. I can't. I'm like.
And the most frustrating thing is those videos never get as much views as the ones you spend 10 seconds on. Like that one, yep. The one I did for Trisha the other day and her new love for Islam and leaving Jews alone, that took 10 seconds. And within a day, a million views. And I'm just like, I just put out a whole fucking cover song that got like 10 likes. It's like, God damn it.
So I was doing like those CNN videos for a second.
Yeah, those were, I like those a lot.
And it's like the more time I spend making one, the less views it gets. Like, just, it's just a fact. The very first one I did, I put no effort into it. It did like 3 million.
Was that the diarrhea one?
Yeah. Nice. I put no effort into that one. And now the ones that I put effort into to make like look nice, nothing.
You just gotta, I think what's missing is you need to do more diarrhea videos. I think that's what the algorithm wants.
You know, my favorite is the comments, man. It's like, I'm not an idiot. Like, I want to do smarter stuff. Mm-hmm. But when I release smarter stuff, no one watches. Mm-hmm. So then like the diarrhea video, I'll have some comedy like, he should have done this or he should have done that. It's like, yeah, I should have done a lot of things, but this one's the one that got 3 million views. So like, we're both wrong, dude. Like, you can leave a comment, tell me how stupid this is. I agree. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah, I should have done a lot of things, but the dumb one, that's the one that people cared about. So,
because that is what the algorithm wants to be fed.
About this the other day. When you become friends with someone online, you know, sometimes like someone will comment anything, you comment back, and then, yeah, now we're like Instagram friends. You know what I mean? That the algorithm did that.
Mm-hmm.
The algorithm chose you guys to be friends.
Well, that's like
how said, you guys like a lot of the same things. We're going to show you guys your things often.
That's like how we met. You found my Hanukkah video like a year later. And you were just like, oh, thanks for plugging my band. And I was, and you were just like, oh, this is a cool thing I did 30 years ago. And I'm just like, this is the exact kind of vibe that I want to emulate with a future band. And so algorithm works sometimes. Like even before tonight, I don't know if you follow Stixy on TikTok. He's like the scrawnier tattooed guy from Boston who does all like the meme videos. Occasionally we'll do something about hardcore. He was like live streaming. I think he has a layover in Newark or something. And he was just like, I'm in Jersey. And I was just going to go be annoying and be like, hey, welcome to Jersey. And then he accidentally invites me to his live stream and we're talking. And it's just like, thanks, algorithm.
Yeah.
Putting people together. But
the algo made us friends.
But it's back so weird. To your projects, I want to talk a little bit about Does It Get Better? Because that was probably the thing in my researching for this podcast that caught me the most off guard. Because one, you were saying a lot of things that like resonated with me and in a time where I needed to hear them. So before I go into the questions, thank you for making this podcast. And so first off, how is your leg doing?
My leg is not bad.
Nice.
finally, a year later, it's like pretty okay.
I'm glad to hear it. But
there are bolts broken the wrong way. So I am gonna eventually have to get them out, but it's gonna be a while.
It's gonna be a problem for future Neil.
Yes, this is future Neil.
But you mentioned on the podcast that you're like an incredibly public person, said before, like you're super thick skinned. And as someone who like, I guess this is more of like a personal question for me as a content creator to content creator. And you said that skin was developed.
Yeah. I mean, it's just cause like people think that they're the first one to insult you. And it's like, dude, I've been on Earth for so long, dude. Like, whatever you're going to say to me, I've heard so much better, so much funnier, and so much meaner.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing you... Like, once in a while, I'll come across, like, a Jew thing that I'm like, oh, that's actually pretty clever. But other than that, it's like, what do you think you're going to... What, are you going to call me fat? You're going to say that I can't see my dick because I'm too fat? Like, you don't think I heard that when I was... like 12, like you're a hack. You're nothing. You're a do nothing. Nobody.
It's like you get up user here and try to 3687.
Sorry. You feel this way. Go fucking fall off a cliff, dude. Fall backwards out of a window.
So have you ever gotten like, it was almost a rite of passage for a lot of Jewish creators where we would just get flooded by people looking like they're cosplaying as Zelda characters, just heaving like inferior race, like Anglo-Saxon and Germanic supremacy shit, like all over my con. I don't know if you ever experienced that.
Yeah. So I mean, it's a daily occurrence that I'll get like some kind of like my name in parentheses or, just like little dog whistle stuff that like, cause they figured it out. Like they nail it. So like, they do little dog whistle stuff. And then like, I can't say anything. Cause then it's a threat. Oh, you're threatening me. But I like to say, come see me live. Come see me live.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's like, come talk to me in person. Let's see how proud boy you are. Really. Come on. Let's do a show together. You know, like, let's come see me live.
No, it's, so completely lost my train of thought. Awesome.
That's all right.
I don't have my conductor's license. Puns. puns are what are going to get this back on the rails. I have to stop making puns. So
you were asking about the anti-Semitic comments.
Yeah, just like your experience as a Jewish content creator, because I know being a part of the Jewish TikTok community, they've tried 100 times trying to get TikTok to moderate better. And it just like will never happen because they don't give a fuck about anyone. No one is safe on that app.
It's just crazy to me that like someone can say something so fucked up to me. And then if I'm like,
your video gets flagged.
Yeah. Then my video gets flagged. And it's like, wait, what? Like, oh, and it like damages my ability to create revenue for like a month.
Are you in the creator fund?
Not on TikTok, but like on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my experience with the TikTok Creator Fund was just not good.
Yeah, I was. It had been suggested to me to wait until my numbers were higher,
because
I was at like a weird spot where like they would just stop cultivating my audience if I asked to get paid, which is unreal. That like all these platforms, it's just. We just have to give them our content, keep creating and give it to them. And then one day, maybe, you know, and that's the thing that gets me the most with it. Like, which is why I stick to YouTube as much as possible is don't ask me to promote this for $20. Like I'm getting eyeballs on your thing. I'm part of your creative process. Like, if every one of me stopped creating for you, you would have nothing. Like,
exactly.
Don't forget your roots.
New York hardcore.
But that's why I like YouTube, because at least they pay me. I mean, I know Facebook Pay is like the big guns, but by the time you get to that point, I don't know.
Well, Facebook's going the way of the dodo, because Mark Zuckerberg can't keep his shit together. He needs to hand off the company to someone else before he runs it into the ground.
Yeah, it's just it's one of those things, because it's linked with Instagram, that it's like the best place for just like communications.
Yeah, but it feels like Instagram is Facebook's life support at this point.
Yeah, for sure. I agree.
But so you have,
we all suck, to be honest.
Social media is a mental cancer, and it's sucking the vitality and the joy out of all of our lives. To quote Thursday, they stole the love from our lives to put the sex on the radio. I've been reading a book about like DIY bands signing to majors, and Thursday was one of them. That's why they're relevant. But going back to podcasts.
Which
Sellout from Dan Ozzie.
Okay. Yeah. That's the newest one.
Yeah.
There was a Steve Albini one a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's right. The one.
That was generation's one. I'm going to write that down to find that book, because
I think it's Some of Your Friends Are Already This Fucked, I think is the name of it.
And it was like a guide on how to not get fucked by a label deal.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Cool.
But I like, I always, because we were part of a thing. I remember telling bands like, get signed and get shelved. Like, take that money and just go tour and leak your album. And because at the time it was like, we're not going to make any money from recordings anyway. Like most of the money is merch. I didn't even have a site to know what.
Even back then.
Yeah. Like in the early 2000s, very early 2000s, late 90s, it was like merch was the main source of income. I didn't have the foresight to know that there'd be like online revenue streams, but even still, it was just like, get signed, get shelved, leak the record, tour. Call the album Steal This. You know what I mean?
And steal just this fucking album.
Yeah. And just fucking, that was my suggestion to new bands all the time. If the labels come sniffing, take as much money as you can from them, let them shelve you, go on tour.
Nice. Whew. So back to the podcast. See, it's good. We're very good at tangents, but it's trying to keep some form of structure. Because in our tangents, we answered some of my later questions. I'm not shit, but perfect. So November is Men's Mental Health Month. And a lot of Does It Get Better is dudes talking about their fucking feelings. And just like something that I personally struggle with, I know a lot of people struggle with, just like that stigma that a man who tells people what's bothering them emotionally, just like, oh, this hurt my feelings, I don't like this, da, 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 that they're soft, they're in emotion, they're too emotional, especially coming from New York hardcore, New Jersey hardcore, like there's a big fucking machismo factor going in. So I guess what was your, I know it was originally designed as something your friend, I forget your co-host's name, was just like Rich. Rich was like, I'm seeing a therapist. I want to talk to you about some stuff, maybe give you a similar experience. Cause you, like me, were someone we fixate on the shit. And so,
so this woman, Sally O'Neill, who is in the hospital herself right now, I wish her a very speedy recovery. She works for like a vlog network, like a podcast network called Govs Radio. And they wanted me involved. They wanted me to do a show. And I'm very bad with consistency. That's my one issue, is like, if it's not stand up, I'm not focusing on it. It's going to be second place no matter what. If it's not stand up, it's not going to be consistent, which is something I got to work on, I'm sure. But I want to be the best stand up. I'm not really, the other stuff is just to advertise the stand up. I'm not really concerned. So she wanted me to do a show, and my buddy Rich, when I started really spiraling, like I've always been suicidal and manic depressive and all these other things. And when I really started to spiral after the ankle break, he said, I should journal about it. That was his suggestion. So I was doing posts on Facebook like once a week, like, here's where I am at. I'm planning death. Like, I'm so over it. And she was like, listen, I read your things. It's like, it's very compelling. A lot of people, 15 people were saying, that it was helping them cope with their things and pandemic and blah, 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 blah. So she was like, would Rich do a podcast with you about this stuff? And Rich, of course, was like, yeah, why not? So we started doing that. And then, that was it. It was really just Rich talking me out of suicide once a week, because this woman, Sally, had a great idea. That's really all it was.
Do you feel that the podcast has helped?
No, I've gotten worse. In fact, my new podcast is called Neil Rubenstein Gets Worse.
At least you're still funny. Because as a stand-up comedian, that's the most important thing. But yeah. I do hope, I'm sure you've heard this from a million other people. It doesn't mean shit coming from a stranger you met on the internet. But I do hope you feel better at some point, eventually.
My favorite thing is people like, we'll miss you. Like, you'll get over it.
It's just like, I haven't even gone anywhere yet. Like,
you'll get over it. You'll be fine. Everyone will be fine. I'll be a footnote. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
So, you just got back from tour, if I'm correct, right?
I am constantly on tour.
You're still on tour.
I mean, I'm home right now for Thanksgiving, but
right back on the road. I have a show right
2 hours away tomorrow, and then I have shows all weekend, and then I'm in Nashville on Monday. So it's like, am I home from tour? Is this a break? Like, is this just Thanksgiving off?
Your office is just in many different places.
Yeah, so I was just in Austin this past weekend. I'm in Edith tomorrow. When's this airing?
this is probably going to air sometime next week. I want to have it ready for Hanukkah so I could be like, Jewish hardcore, cool, whatever. But like, I'm going to try to get it out by like Wednesday.
Tomorrow Wednesday?
No. Next Wednesday.
So, all right. So I'm in Chattanooga this weekend. I'm in Atlanta the following week. That includes like Oxford, Mississippi and Huntsville, Alabama. And then I'm in Florida the following week in a change. And then I'll be back home for Christmas break and New Year's.
Nice.
And then we'll see. I'm trying to get a tour lined up for January, February, but if it doesn't happen, I'll be home for January and then go back out February.
Is like booking tours for comedy similar to booking tours for like bands?
It's similar to booking tours for new bands, where it's like, today is a living room, tomorrow's a VFW hall, Wednesday's a back room of a bar, you know, or a pizza place or a nail salon or whatever the fuck. I'm at a phase right now, like a position where like, I'll get, like, I just got 2 weeks with a big comic and then, you know, I'll come home from that and I'll just go back to like bars and whatever the fuck. And then maybe I'll get a couple of good weekends at a big club somewhere else. And then I'll go back to bars and VFW hall, you know? So it's like, for me right now, I'm like in the in-between phase.
Yeah.
Whereas like, I'm not in a position where I can just go do long weekends in one club and like generate my livelihood from that. So I need to do other things still. But
you still gotta sow the seeds across the country.
Yeah, I feel like I've been paying dues for fucking 30 years, but I'm still just paying dues. I'm just grinding it out.
Just like everyone who went to college.
Just like everyone who went to college.
But so I guess last thing I'm gonna ask is if you have, besides tour, because you just plugged that, any projects in the work that you would want to plug that you'd want people to know be on the lookout for?
Yeah, I guess I am starting this thing. I guess if this is next Wednesday, so two episodes will be out. Neil Rubenstein Gets Worse. And it's just gonna be like a solo pod, like just I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, you know.
I hear you.
I just keep throwing stuff against the wall. This is another piece of spaghetti.
Eventually one of them's got to stick.
Does it
get better or worse? Neil Rubenstein's podcasts.
Yeah,
the Does It series. It's the the Does It podcast network.
So yeah, so there's the does it get better, which is kind of, I don't know if we're doing any more of those. And then there, I also have Want Beef, which is like a food thing. But
yeah, that's like when you're out on the tour. Is that just like fast food spots that you're trying, or
no? The Want Beef stuff is like we'll discuss whatever topic. Like here, I was using Mike Kennedy, my buddy, as a co-host, and like he's a fast food kind of guy, so you know, his topics were sugar cereals and, you know, chicken tenders and tacos, you know. But like Jody, who I'll use when I'm back in New York, she's a cook, so then her things is holiday food and comfort food and stews or whatever the, you know, whatever, hors d'oeuvres.
Something a little more sophisticated.
Yeah. So it depends on who I'm talking to. You know, if I'm talking to like a dude like Tommy from the pasta shop, then we'll probably talk about, you know, restaurant quality stuff. And if I'm talking to, you know, talking to some Yid, it'll be about Nudelkugel.
And Cholent.
Yeah.
So where on the food spectrum do you feel you fall, from like gas station sushi to like five-star restaurants?
Well, I mean, I like it all. I love a gas station taco or hot dog. taquito.
I those 7-Eleven taquitos?
I love it. I love it.
I used to survive on those.
But like, you know, I love PJ Clark's and Keen's and, you know, Ruth Chris or whoever, you know, it's like, I love quality meats. I love like a good steak and I love like fancy charcuterie, you know,
but yeah,
I can't, you know, I can't afford all that stuff. So yeah, so yeah. I'm eating jalapeno cheddar wurst out of a Love's, you know, at 2 a.m. in the middle of Kansas. And that's, you know, that's fine too.
All right. So then I guess my final annoying food question, what is your favorite like location based chain to like hit while you're out on tour? Like a place that you specifically look forward to being in that city to hit?
Jack Brown's Burger Bar.
Where is it?
Jack Brown's, I think maybe it's called Beer and Burger Joint.
Okay.
Jack Brown's. It is in the Southeast.
Okay.
Ones I've been to are in Nashville. There's two in Nashville, one in Murfreesboro, one in Roanoke, one in Huntsville, one in Killdevil Hills. I can't remember where else. There's like about 14 or 15 of them. It is, I'm going to be in Chattanooga. I'm going to be in Nashville. I'm going to be in Chattanooga. I'm going to be in Huntsville. I'm going to eat them at all those locations.
Awesome. So then I guess that brings us to the end. Thank you for this. This was really cool.
Thank you.
Of course. So make sure if you are in the Southeast, you go catch Neil Rubenstein on tour the weekend that this airs.
Yeah. And, my site or my Instagram, the dates are everywhere. You can use, I mean, you gotta like poke around a little bit to find them, but they're everywhere.
They're not everywhere, but they're in plain sight.
Yeah.
So once again, this is DJ Tall Guy from It Came From The Basement from tourworthy.com signing out. And then I'm going to hit the stop recording button and then it's going to stop recording. So cool. Thank you. Thank you.